Okay, today's shir is L'Refua Shleima, Tali Bas Dvorabina. Tali Bas Dvorabina. Okay, we are towards the, yesterday we started the parak of Eilu Dvarim. We are towards the bottom of Nun Alpha Mabez. We had eight machlokos, eight arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, related to Seuda. There are other arguments, but Eilu Dvarim, these are the things between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, eight machlokos. So yesterday we started to discuss the first one. The first one was the machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel related to whenever you make Kiddush. What's the order of the two brachos? So Beis Shammai says, first you make the bracha on Shabbos, meaning Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then afterwards you say the bracha of Bori Pri HaGafen. That's what Beis Shammai holds. So Beis Shammai gives two reasons for that. Either because the day comes first, or the day is what causes you to make the Kiddush, right? It's Gorim Le'ayin Sheyavo. And Beis Hillel says the opposite, what we do, and that is first say Bori Pri HaGafen, and then say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Again, Yom HaShishi, which is the first part, that's not a bracha. That's Eidus, that was Mesuka to be part of the Kiddush, but really the Iker Kiddush is the two brachas. Fine. Just one note that I wanted to mention on the, that whole discussion yesterday. So what is so the reason for Beis Hillel was, number one, the Kiddush is the reason that you're using the wine, and number two, Tadr v'sheino Tadr kodem. Therefore, the more common, the more usual bracha is said first. The Mishnah in Zvachim says that rule. Tadr v'sheino Tadr kodem. The Bnei Yeshua points out that it's interesting because here l'chora we learned that Birchas Hanan in Erol Drabanan, and Kiddush l'chora is Daraisa. So here you have a tadir that's a drabanan and an eno tadir that's a daraisa, and Beis Hillel still says tadir kodim. So Pnei Yeshua says, how could that be? So therefore he says, it must be that kfar kiddush. He says maybe kiddush itself is also drabanan. Maybe you come up with a hechidim, so maybe you already did kiddush. Maybe you did kiddush betfilah. So therefore kiddush is also drabanan. So therefore they're both drabanan. So therefore you don't have a drabanan beating a daraisa. This relates a little bit to the big discussion related to kiddush we had a couple of years ago about Kiddush B'Tfilah. What happens if you're B'Kaddish B'Tfilah, right? We're B'Kaddish HaShabbos, we mentioned Kiddush B'Tfilah, and then we come home, and we want to be Yotzi, our wives, in Kiddush. So asks the discussion in the Magen Avraham and the Note of Yehuda on Shulchan Aruch, how can we be Yotzi, our wives, in Kiddush every Friday night? Because we were already Yotzi, our Kiddush D'Araisa, in Shul. And then we come home, and we're only Yotzi, Kiddush D'Rabbanan, Alakos, and our wives are still Yotzi, Kiddush D'Araisa. We learned on Daf Chav that women have to make Kiddush B'Daraisa, right? Zachar V'Shavar B'Dibarecha Nemer, and therefore we compare, because Yeshna B'Shmir, Yeshna B'Zechira. So therefore he leaves it at Pesarach Iyan. But the Minchas Chinuch in Lamed Aleph has a big discussion where he argues on that opinion. Because he says, once the Rabbanan told us to do a specific mitzvah in a certain way, even though it's a Daraisa mitzvah, but once the Rabbanan told us how to do that mitzvah Daraisa, they say, Kiddush, the way you fulfill the mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush is saying these words, so once you don't say those words, you're not Yotze, even Daraisa. That's the sheet of the Minchas Chinuch. So for example, benching. Does it say in the Torah what words to use to bench? The answer is no. But once the Chazal told us how to bench and what words, that if you don't say it that way, so they're not even Yotzi the mitzvah d'oraisa. So therefore, he says, I don't know how the question gets off the ground. If you're Yotzi b'tfila, if you're not Yotzi, how can you be Yotzi b'tfila? Number one, he has a side problem where you don't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in tfila. You have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. But number two, once Chazal told you how to say Kiddush, so then even the mitzvah d'oraisa, you might not be Yotzi. But that relates to the Pnei Yeshua's discussion related to this issue. Okay, then the end of the Gemara mentions why does it say in the Brisa Halacha Kibes Hillel? That's Pashit. So the answer is, right, there's already a Baskol. So he said, no, either it was before the Baskol or it was like Rabbi Yeshua who doesn't hold like the Baskol. So that was an interesting Tosfos on top that spoke about whether a Baskol goes against the Rove or not. The end of that Tosfos has an important Ha'ara where Tosfos in the second half of Rabbi Yeshua says, V'im Tomar, how is it possible? Why is it that by Kiddush and Abdallah we say Bori Pri HaGafen and by Kiddush and Abdullah, first we say Bori Pri HaGafen, and then we say Mekadesh HaShabbos or Mekadesh Zohav HaZmanim, etc. And by Birchas HaMazon, first we betch and then we say Bori Pri HaGafen. Right? Why by betching do we say the Bori Pri HaGafen after the Birchas HaMitzvah, while by the Kiddush and Abdullah we say it beforehand? So Tosfos gives a simple answer. Meaning, Lamaisa, what are you going to do? By benching, if you say Bori Pri HaGafen at the beginning, you're not thinking about drinking the wine. You're going to say four different brachas. You're not going to drink the wine for 5 minutes. It's going to be too much of a hefsek, a hesachadas. So therefore, you have to make it afterwards. But by Kiddush, by Kiddush Abdullah, you're drinking the wine. That's what you're doing. So therefore, if you have another little bracha afterwards, then it is okay. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Second line. Does Beis Shammai hold that Birchas Hayom is better? Meaning that you're supposed, it's adif, it's stronger, therefore you should say it first. You should say the Bori Pri HaGafen first. I'm sorry, you should say the Kiddush Hayob first. That was the Shita in the Mishnah of Beis Shammai. Not like what we do. First you say Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then you say Bari Pirei Gafen. V'atalia, we have a Braisa that seems to reflect the opposite. The Tosefta says, Adichnos L'Beis Motzei Shabbos, let's say somebody comes into his house on Motzei Shabbos. Mevarech Al HaYayin, V'Al HaMo'or, V'Al HaBesamim, V'Yachar Kach Ober Havdala. Says the Tosefta, then what's the order that you do? You say Bari Pirei Gafen, Bori Mori Ha'esh, that's the Ma'or, Bori B'dei B'samim, and then Havdalah. That's what you do. V'imeino ela kos echad, and what happens if you only have one cup of wine? And you know you're going to want to eat Malav Malka later, and therefore what are you going to do? Once if you use the cup of wine for Havdalah, then you're not going to have a cup of wine for benching later on, so what do? So says this opinion, Menicha la'achar amazon, so you save it. You eat first. You have your meal, you have your suda, and then manicha l'achar mazon, wait till after you eat, umishal shalon kulon l'acharav, and then you save all the brachas to do after benching. So in either case, the order is, of this opinion in the Tosefta, the order is, either you're going to the second half of the brachas, you're going to bench first. But even forgetting the benching, the order is wine, ma'or ha'esh, besamim, and then havdalah. So you're doing the birchas ha-mitzvah, the havdalah, at the end of the set. So asks the Gemara, assuming, we're going to see why we're assuming this in a minute, but assuming this Tosefta is the opinion of Beis Shammai, how could Beis Shammai, it seems to be a stira, because Beis Shammai in our Mishnah says that the bracha on the Yom always goes first, and we're comparing Kiddush and Havdalah, so in the Mishnah, the bracha on the Yom was Kiddush, that went first, and in the Tosefta, the bracha on the Yom, Havdalah, went last. That's the stira. So asks the Gemara, so how do you know this Tosefta doesn't have any names? So how do you know this Tosefta is Beis Shammai? Maybe this Tosefta is Beis Hillel's opinion. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakatadach. No, there's no Havamina that is Beis Hillel. So follow along carefully. First we're going to quote a Braisa with two Beis Shammai and Beis Hillels, and then we're going to relate it back to two other Beis Shammai and Beis Hillels in the Mishnah. And we're going to prove that out of all of those, it's got to be one of the four opinions of Beis Shammai, and that's going to be the Stira. Okay, now we're just going to prove why this Tosefta is going to be like Beis Shammai. But Lo Sakadai, the Tani, we learned in the Tani, Ma'or V'Achayach B'Samim, because this Braisa says that first you say Bori Morei Ha'esh, and then B'Samim, and Umat Shammai's Le'di Islei Ha'isvara, who is the only one who says that first you say Bori Morei Ha'esh, and then B'Samim, which, by the way, is the opposite of what we do, right? We'll get to what we do. Bori Morei Ha'esh first, and then B'Samim, Beis Shammai. Only Beis Shammai says that opinion. So this Tosefta has to be Beis Shammai, and therefore we'd have the Stira in Beis Shammai. So how do you prove that? The Tanya. We learned it at another Tosefta, Amr Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says, Lo nechleku Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel al hamazon shebetchila v'al havdalah shu basof. Remember the case the Mishnah spoke about. Let's say you're finishing Shalosh Shudas late, and you only have one kos of wine, and you have four things you have to say. You have to bench, you have to do all the brachas of Havdalah. So what do you do? That was the case in the Mishnah, remember, out of the eight machloksim, that was machlokas number 5 in our Mishnah. So that's the case. You have Birchas Hamazon and Havdalah and Besamim and Or. So what's the order? So Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had no machlokas between what's first and what's last. The only machlokas were about the two middle brachas. Everybody agrees, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you bench first. And everybody agrees that you do Havdalah last. Havdalah meaning the bracha of Hamazon Bekodesh Bechol. So machlokas is the middle two, Besamim and Bori Morei Ha'esh, what the order is. Alma nechleku ala ma'or v'ala besamim, she'Beis Shammai omrim ma'or v'achagach besamim. Beis Shammai says, first Bori Morei Ha'esh, and then besamim. U'Beis Hillel omrim besamim v'achagach ma'or. So that's the machlokas. So you see in the Brice, in this Tosefta that is quoted, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had no machlokas regarding the first and the last. So you start with benching and you end with Havdalah. The machlokas was in the middle. So therefore, if you look in this Tosefta, who is the one that says you say Bori Morei Ha'esh first and then Besamim? That's Beis Shammai. So therefore you see, if you're going to choose an opinion of which is Ma'or first and then Besamim, which is the author of the first Tosefta, it's got to be Beis Shammai. Yeah.
Why should the middle brachas change if you only have one cup? What's an
afternoon? So why is that? We'll have to see. What's that machlokas about? That's a question. But why should Besamim or Bori Morei Ha'esh be first? That the Gemara that we'll talk about. Not today, but in a later, maybe tomorrow. So umimai de Beis Shammai hi ba'al libe de Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know? So Gemara says, still, one second. How do you know the author of that Tosefta on top of the Amud is Beis Shammai? Because we have two we have a machlokas in Bishar Beis Hillel, whatever Rabbi Yehuda quotes. Dilma Beis Hillel, Iba Libd Rabbi Meir. Maybe this opinion on top is Beis Hillel's opinion, according to Rabbi Meir. Who's Rabbi Meir? Meir means the author of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a different Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So why are you assuming, asks the Gemara, that the author of the original Tosefta on top is Beis Shammai from this Tosefta quoted? Maybe it's Beis Hillel from the Mishnah. And if you look at Beis Hillel in the Mishnah, he holds that Bori Mori Ha'ish comes before Bori B'nei B'samim. So maybe that's the author of the Mishnah, Beis Hillel, and therefore there's no stira between Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai. One's Beis Hillel, one's Beis Shammai. So Gemara answers, Lo Sal Kedaitach. Right, I'm not taking a drink today yet for fasting for my son. Lo salka daitach. So the right, so pretty soon it'll be a bris. Bez Hashem. Lo salka daitach. There's no havamina that this opinion is Beis Hillel. Diktani haqa b'masnison. Because look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Beis Shammai omrim neru mazon u'besamim v'havdala u'Beis Hillel omrim neru besamim mazon v'havdala. In the Mishnah, mazon, the benching is somewhere in the middle of the set. Vahasam in an Arto Sefta that we're trying to figure out who the author is, and in the Tosefta it says you do benching first in the second line of the Brisa. If you want to eat first, you do benching first. So therefore it can't be either of the opinions in our Mishnah, because the opinions in our Mishnah say you do benching in the middle somewhere. So therefore forget the opinions in our Mishnah. So it's got to be one of the opinions in the Tosefta. So if it's got to be one of the opinions in the Tosefta, which is the in the other Tosefta, so which is the one that has Ma'ar ha'esh before Besam and Beis Shammai. So therefore, Shma mina to Beis Shammai hi valib de Rabbi Yehuda. So that's how you know that the original author of the Tosefta on line 3 of today's Amud, who's the author? It's Beis Shammai, the version of Beis Shammai in this Tosefta. Fine. So we figured out who the author is. But fine, we got the author. So now we have the Stira. When we call Makom, Kasha. Right, now we're up to the question. That was the whole reason we wanted to prove this was Beis Shammai, to have the stira. That in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says, Kiddush is done first. And in the Tosefta, Beis Shammai says, Havdalah is done last. So, is it Kiddush and Havdalah the same? So you can already see the answer coming. So the Gemara says, no. Sabri Beis Shammai, Shani Iyule Yome Me'afuke Yoma. There's a difference between when the day enters to when the day exits. Iyule Yoma, when you're bringing in Shabbos, when Shabbos is coming in, so when the earlier you do it is better, right? You want to start Shabbos as soon as you can. The best, the better. You want to have the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to set for Shabbos. So therefore, you want to as the first second that you could say the Mekadesh Shabbos, you say it. So therefore, by Kiddush, you say Kiddush first, and then Borei Pri HaGafen and the other brachos. Afuke Yoma. But when the Shabbos is leaving, then Kama Demachrinan Le Adif. And the more you can push it off is better. So it doesn't appear like Shabbos is a burden. Therefore, we always try to push off ending Shabbos. Right? That's why we say Vihinoam in Shul. Why do we say Vihinoam in Shul? So because Shulchan Aruch says, to have a few more seconds of Shabbos. You know, you're not going to make Abdullah, you're not running home. Vihinoam bat HaKadosh. So therefore, we have a few extra seconds. This is also, by the way, the Afike Yom HaKamada Achrinan Lei Tfei Mali. So then that's the reason that the Shulchan Aruch gives in Hilchos Chanukah. Why in Shul, on Chanukah, Motzi Shabbos, on Chanukah, while the Shulchan Aruch says that first we light the menorah, and then we make Havdalah. So our minhag is like the Taz at home to switch it. At home, we make Havdalah first, and then we light the menorah. But in Shul, at least, and it seems like from the Shulchan Aruch, at least, we're supposed to do this at home too, but we don't. But in Shul, at least, you do have Halakas Neiros first, and then Havdalah. Why? The Shulchan Aruch says, because you're going to make Havdalah betfilah, so you're allowed to do Malacha. But to make Mamish Havdalah, we try to push it off as much as possible. Right? Extend the Shabbos, at least the aspects of Shabbos, at least a little bit. I saw last night that the Rav Soloveitchik quotes his father, Rav Moshe, well, it's also Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik quotes Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in, quoted in Hari Kedem in Rav Shurkin Sefer, about maybe there's another reason why on Chanukah, Motzi Shabbos, you light Chanukah candles first before Havdalah. Because he thinks, what's the whole idea of lighting candles in Shul? That's part of Pursumi Nisa of its Sibur. If you have a tzibur together, so then you have to have a chiyuv to like halakas neiros before hesya. The question is, what gives the status of tzibur? Meaning you just have 20 Jews together, that's not a tzibur. You have to be mitzur, you have to be connected in some way. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik felt, that's why, for example, on a weekday night, you light between mincha and ma'ariv in shul. Even though at home you can light after ma'ariv. Why? Because before the tzibur, when the tzibur has a chiyuv to daven ma'ariv together, that itself gives it the status of a tzibur. So if once you have the status of a tzibur, that's why you can light Chanukah candles. Because there's a chovas at tzibur to daven ma'ariv, that's why you light between mincha and ma'ariv. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik continued and said he thinks that's why you light before Havdalah in shul. Because after ma'ariv, there's no more chovah to daven together. So what gives them the status of tzibur? They're going home now. The tzibur is finished. So Rav Moshe Zlomeitzchak suggested that maybe that's the why you do it. Another reason why you do it before Havdalah, not just to push off the Havdalah, but before you make Havdalah, maybe the halos shame, the halachic status of a tzibur still exists. That's the second reason why maybe you light the Hanukkah candles first, and then he adds. That's why Rav Soloveitchik was against lighting, just let's say you have a big get-together somewhere, you have a Hanukkah party, not in the context of a tefillah. You just have a big get-together. So the Minhag Yisrael, some people like have a family get-together, they light Hanukkah if it's not in a house. If it's in a house, obviously the person who's in the house can light the candles. But if it's not in the house, it's in some public place, it's in Cedarhurst Square over there, you know, you light the candles. So Rav Soloveitchik was against lighting there with a bracha because there's no tzibur there. There's no halachic connection called tzibur, and therefore why are you lighting there with a bracha? This pesumei nisa, you can light it, there's nothing wrong with it, but with a bracha he felt that you don't have the status of a tzibur. It's a discussion in the post. Okay. Let's continue. Vesabri beishamai. The Birchas Hamazon Tuna Coast. This whole discussion that we've had was assuming, right, there's an issue, you only have one cup and you have to bench. So one of the assumptions was that Beishamai requires you to bench Al Hakos. So we said, but that goes against one of the other machlokos in the Mishnah. But Hatznan, we learned, machlokos number 8. I have them numbered in my Gemara. That's how I keep knowing the numbers. So machlokos number 8 in the Mishnah, the last one, it says, Balhem my machar amazon. The end of the Mishnah, we said, if you get wine at the end of the meal, so what do you do? Im ein sham ella oso kos. If you only have that kos, so the simple reading of the Mishnah machlokes was the following: Beishamai omer mevarach aliyan v'chach mevarach al kos. The passage of that line means Beishamai says, "Don't worry about a kos for benching. Drink the wine, have a good drink, and then bench later on. And you want to have a kos? What could you do?" Meaning you don't need a kos for benching. That's how we understood the Mishnah according to Beishamai. And Beis Hillel had said, "No, you have to save it for benching." So we thought that Beishamai held you don't need a kos for benching. So we just had a whole discussion with seemed to say you do need a kos for benching. So my love, it doesn't the Mishnah mean to mevarich alayv v'shasile? Doesn't it mean that you're drinking the cup? Beishamai said you drink the cup, and therefore you're not going to have anything left for benching, right? So isn't that the pashtus? The Gemara says no. Lo de mevarich alay umarachlay. No, you're going to drink it. You're going to put it down. I'm sorry. You're going to make the bracha, and then you're going to put it down. So what's that? V'hamar marham mevarich sarach shayitom. What do you mean? Once you make Bar Pira Gafen, you have to drink a little bit. You have to taste a little bit. Right? This is quoted in Hilchah Shabbos. That at least Lechad Chilo, there are three opinions quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchah Shabbos. Let's say the Makadesh, the Mavarech, Lechad Chilo, he is supposed to drink the wine. Right? Sometimes, let's say you have a Zakein, older grandfather. You want to be Mechabing him with Kiddush, but he can't drink the wine. So sometimes he'll make the Kiddush, and then somebody else will drink the wine for him. That's Mikra Din allowed. Lechad Chila, it's best not to. Lechad Chila, it's best. The person who's making the bracha should drink the wine, number one. Number two, it should drink the whole shear of what you need, a rov revius. The second level is that a different person should drink a rov revius. And the third level is that, the third sheet of that, everybody combined drinks a rov revius. That's why here, let's say we don't have wines, that's when we use schnapps, but I make them use the whole cup of schnapps to have the shear. So we rely on that shita because everybody's mitzarif, and we make sure to drink a rov revius. By the way, that's different shirim than Pesach night. Pesach night, we paskin, you know, different shirim. Kol hakos lechatchila, rov hakos. That's why you shouldn't use such a big cup on Pesach night. You just got to make sure you have a shear. But that's based on this halacha. Hamavarech zarach sheyitom. Lechatchila, the one who makes the bracha is supposed to taste the wine. So what's Beishamai talking about? That you're going to make the bracha and put it down. So Gemara says the time, like, okay, you're right, you tasted it. You just didn't drink it. You tasted it a little bit. And then you're saving the rest for benching. So one second, it says the Gemara, Babramar, Ta'amo, Pagmo. What do you mean? Once you taste it, it's Pagum. There's a halakha in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to, but the Eved, you can use it if you don't have any other wine. But Lechad Chila, you're not supposed to use Pagum wine. What's Pagum wine? Wine that somebody drank from. That's Pagum wine. So therefore, it's stained a little bit. So therefore, it's not kosher bracha. You're not supposed to use Pagum wine. So there are ways to fix Pagum wine, right? If you pour a little bit of liquid, water or wine or anything into the wine, so you always go by what was poured in. So as long as what was poured in is not pogum, therefore the whole thing gets the status of non-pogum. That's why, let's say, if you have a lot of wine left, you want to pour it back into the bottle. See, if you pour straight back into the bottle, you messed up, because now your whole bottle was pogum. But if you put a little bit of the bottle into the cup first, so now the whole thing is not pogum, and then you can pour the rest back. So the Gemara says, Tomo pogmo. So if you tasted it, how can you use this for benching in a few minutes? So Gemara said, no, the tamlay biyade. No, you didn't taste it with your mouth, but question what this means. The Shulchan Aruch says this means that you poured a little bit in your hand, and then you drank it. Therefore, you weren't pogim it. That's not called pegim if you didn't directly drink from the cup. Or the Mishnah Berurah quotes on that Shulchan Aruch, or even if you stuck your finger in and took some wine and drank it. So therefore, that's not pogim it. Oh, why is this halacha l'maisa? Dam Svardeya Kinim. Right, we're all dipping. Minhag Yisrael, a lot of people have to dip their fingers in. We're going to say a Berei Guffin in a few minutes. Koshel Bracha. Right, or we pogame it. Some people get disgusted anyways. They just pour a little bit out. And somebody told me they live in this fancy neighborhood. They have these little spooners that they have. They make them dafka for the Datzach Hadash Bachav spoons. Right, they have labeled beautiful silver. Beautiful. Mitzvah. Hider Minhag. Hider Minhag. What? Some pour some more wine and some not. Some say you have to have a full, right? Some have a separate cup so you don't have less wine. Either way, you might have asked, hey, if you put your finger in, isn't it pogum? Our Gemara, nun beis, not pogum, right? If you stick your finger in, it's not pogum. Only if your mom is drink from the coast is it pogum. So therefore, that's what you did according to Beis Shammai.
So is it a problem to add more wine to the coast?
If you do... Is there a problem? I mean, it's not pogum. There's the Haggadah is said a la coast. So therefore, some say that you have to have the one that you're adding wasn't nechlal in the entire Haggadah. So therefore, some don't. So you have all the one that's in front of you. You only take out a drop. If you have half a cup of wine left, then you have to fill it up. But you try to take out a drop, and therefore you still have the kos. There is a chumrah. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was very mocked about this. Also, there's a story quoted, I don't remember where, that you have to say the whole Haggadah ala kos. Therefore, this has to be the cup of wine. That's why I think he held the kos, the whole Haggadah. Right, talking about yesterday, about whether the left hand is allowed to help the right hand. So, man, the Tosva said, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Chanukah. This is the whole Haggadah. So anyway, so he felt that. And there's a story that said that one time towards the end of Magid, somebody had this cup and the whole wine spilled. And he made him say the whole Haggadah again. Because you have to say the Haggadah ala kos. And therefore, if you can have a new kos and the Haggadah wasn't said on it, so therefore it would be a problem. Anyway, the time lay beyond it. So what do you mean? Right? Menachem's question. Kosher bracha needs a shear. So if you take some out, so then you're going to have less than the required amount to make a bracha on. Let's say a revius. It's less. No, in the cup, you started off with more than the shear. So even if you have a little bit taken out, you don't have to worry. So Gemara says, one second. The Mishnah said, Vim Einsham Ela Oso Kos Ktani. So it said, if you only have that cup, so does that mean you only have that size? You only have the minimum amount of the shear? So is it, oh, Shrei lo have. No, you didn't have enough for two cups. Umicha nafish, but you had more than one. So therefore, you only have one cup to use. Therefore, you can take a little bit out, use it now, and then you can still save it for Berachas HaMazon. We have another version of Beis Shammai where it says, if you only have one cup, you drink. Right, we could try to figure out the Mishnah. It doesn't mean drinking. It means making the bracha and tasting it with a finger. But we have another bracha that says, Beferish, fish o sayu, and you drink it. So Gemara throws up his hands. Fine, what can you do? Elatrei tanoi v'aliba de Beis Shammai. Two versions of Beis Shammai. Machlokas anam what Beis Shammai said. Whether he held that you have to do benching ala kos, or whether he did not. Fine. The conflict here is that this whole discussion on Amud Aleph seemed to assume that Beis Shammai requires you to bench ala kos. And the Mishnah seemed to say, from that number 8 machlokas, that Beis Shammai does not require it. Because if you only have one cup left, you don't have to bench first, kos, and then drink. It says you can drink the wine now. The posh of the Mishnah was that you drink the wine now, then you don't worry about benching, so you won't have a cup for benching. Because he's thirsty.
Oh, okay.
Thirsty. Yeah.
The cups that go all the way around that
we mentioned yesterday, Etur.
Right.
When you pour it in, so nothing was, there was a bracha, right? That wasn't drunk from. So therefore, lachor, you can pour it back in. Lachor, you can pour it back in. Right, ain't no sarach. Oh, well, Basil says you have to wait if you have to do bench ala kos. That's a question. The Gemara talks about it in Psachim, I think, where while Kiddush and Abdallah might not be two totally different mitzvos, that's how. So benching is a little more of a stretch. We have to work on it. That's why this mostly Shabbos, we're going to do Yak Nahas. Right? So we're going to do Kiddush and Abdallah on the same cup. The Rambam holds they're two sides of the same coin. The Rambam holds Abdallah is also Daraisa, part of the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos. So it works well with that. If you all have those Darabanan, we'll work it out a little more. Okay. If you drank from it.
So if you make a bracha on it, someone else can make a bracha on the same coast?
Well, Mevarach Tzor
you have a very big coast, so you
pour. So you pour some off in a chinami. Say just to be safe, we don't want to get confused. Always pour a little wine in from the bottle first, without getting confused. Always do that and then pour it back in. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, next 20 lines are Hilchos Tumah V'Taharah. So we gotta focus. Okay, just to review, Kitzur Hilchos Taharah. Just quickly in about 30 seconds, the part that we have to know for us. The concepts of different levels of tumas. First parak in Kalim. That's the first Masechta in Taurus. Right, the first parak in Kalim lists the avos hatumah. The highest level of tumah is the avi avos hatumah. That's a dead body, a corpse. The next level down is avos hatumah. The avos are 10 or 15 avos hatumah. Anything that touches a dead body is an av hatumah. A sheretz, a zav, a zava, a whole list of avos hatumah. And then we have a rishon latumah, a sheni latumah, a shlishi latumah. We have a whole list of tumos. Usually, there are exceptions, but usually what happens is if a tameh thing touches another thing, then the other thing gets tameh one level down. If an av touches something else, it becomes a rishon. If the rishon touches something else, then the other thing becomes a sheni, etc., etc. That's the usual rule. Okay, that's part one. Part two, there is an exception though. There are certain liquids that are avos hatumah. That's the mashkin of a zav. Any liquid that comes out of a zav, which we spoke about earlier in brachas, his spit, his shechvazera, his ke, anything that comes out of a zav is an av hatumah. The zav is an av hatumah, and anything that comes out of a zav is an av hatumah. So any mashke that comes out of him. So there's a din derabanan, there's a gzera derabanan, that all liquids, if they become tameh, that have the status of liquid, the seven special liquids in halacha, all liquids that become tameh shoot back to be a rishon, even if they only were touched by a sheni latumah. That's a din derabanan, because we're worried people are going to get confused with the liquids of azav, which are very chamur. So therefore, all liquids have the status whenever they're touched by anything, so then they shoot back to be a rishon. Okay, that's another introductory halacha. And one more, and then we'll get into this. One more, hands. Hands that are not washed have the status of shnios latumah. That's a din derabanan, right? Why do we wash our hands before we eat bread? Why do we wash? They're dirty. So the halacha is based on way back when we had a base hamikdash, when we washed our hands before we ate truma, because our hands touch many things. So the rabbanan gave our hands the status of a sheni latumah. Okay, those are introductory information. Okay, so number one, the usual thing is you always go down a level. Number two, there's a gzeira derabanan that all liquids, stam water, if it's touched by something tameh, goes back and has a status of a rishon. Number three, all hands have the status of a sheni latumah. Okay, let's go. So, Beishamei Omrim. Now we're up to the Machlokas. The Gemara is going to talk about every Machlokas in the Mishnah, all eight. So the Gemara now is going to talk about the Machlokas between Beishamei and Beis Hillel, number three. So just remember the case. Beishamei had said, the Machlokas is, do you wash your hands before you pour the cup of wine at the beginning of the meal? Right, like the Yekis had the minhag of washing their hands before they make kiddush. Right, so do you wash your hands first and then pour the cup, or the opposite? Beishamei says, first you wash your hands, and then you pour the cup of wine. And Beis Hillel says, first you pour the cup of wine. So what's that machlokas about? Why should you have to wash your hands before or not? That's based on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. That's what the Gemara says. Here we go. Tana Rabbanan, Beishamei Omer Notel Neidayim V'Achach Bozen Ezakos. Beishamei says, first you wash your hands, and then you pour the cup of wine. Why? Because Beishamei says, why do you have to wash your hands first? Because you don't want to have, why do you wash your hands anytime ever? You don't want to have tameh hands. So why don't you want to have tameh hands? So here we go. Shemata Omer Moser Ezakos Tchila, because Beishamei says, if you were going to say that you first pour the cup of wine, so what's going to happen? You're going to pour the cup of wine before you wash your hands. What happens sometimes when you pour a cup of wine? Sometimes it spills a little bit and you have some liquid, let's say, on the back of the cup. So when you pick up the cup, your hands are going to get wet from the liquid on the outside of the cup. And Beishamei is worried that your hands, let's say you have your hand, if you don't wash your hands, I'm sorry, the opposite. Let's say you don't wash your hands, you're going to have tameh hands. So therefore, your hands, which are shnios in halacha, right? Your hands are always considered tameh unless you wash them. Your hands, which are tameh, are going to make the liquid on the cup tameh, which is going to make the cup tameh, and you're not allowed to make kiddush on a tameh cup. That's Beishamei Shita, why you have to wash your hands before you pour the cup. Again, because if you don't wash your hands are going to become tameh. Your hands are tameh, and therefore they're going to touch the cup that you already poured. They're going to make the liquid on the cup tameh, because we just said liquid always becomes tameh. That's going to make the cup tameh, and Beishamei holds you're not allowed to use a tameh cup of wine. Okay, that's what we're about to say. Let's read it. Gzeira shem yitamu mashkin she'acharei kos b'achmas yadav. The liquid on the back of the cup is going to become tameh because of your hands. V'yachzer v'yitamei yasakos, and then that's going to make the cup tameh. And therefore, you're not allowed to use a tameh cup. Asks the Gemara, v'litzmu yadayim lakos. What are you jumping, bang piggyback? We're saying your hands are going to make the liquid tameh, and the liquid is going to become the cup tameh. Why don't you just say your hands are going to make the cup tameh? Skip the water. So we already know because of the introductory information. Why? Yadayim shnios ain't, because hands are considered shnios, and the halacha is ve'in shenios ashlishi bechulin ela al yidei mashkin. A sheni latuma. This is another rule. A sheni latuma could only cause a shlishi latuma by Truma and Kadshim. Usually, because a Shlishi LaTumah is a very weak type of Tumah, so it only exists by very Kodesh materials, by Truma and Chulin. So if a Shlishi LaTumah touches my food at home, nothing happens. There's no such thing as a Shlishi LaTumah. Therefore, the cup is not going to become anything. The Tumah can't go directly from the hands to the cup. So it has to go through the water, through the liquid, through the wine. Because of what I just said earlier, because there's a din d'rabbanan, that liquid always shoots back to become tameh. So therefore the Gemara says, why don't you just say the tumah goes straight from the hands to the cup? No, it can't, because it only goes through mashkin. That is all shita of Beis Shammai. Again, that's why you gotta wash your hands earlier, because if not, your hands are gonna become tameh, they're gonna make the liquid tameh, which is gonna make the cup tameh, you can't even make a kiddush on a tameh cup. Fine. There's so much lumdus here. I'm sorry we don't have time, but Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, we don't appreciate because we just like it so, like so many laws and dinim. There's beautiful lumdus here. The more lumdus we do on something, the more we appreciate it. Right now, we can't have time, but hopefully sometime in the future. Beis Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel says, no! Beis Hillel argues. First, you pour the cup. You don't have to wash your heels to die beforehand. Mosgenes Akos Vakach Rotun Liyadayim. So Beis Hillel has a different svara. Why do you pour the cup first? Because if you wash your hands first, says Beis Hillel, you have a different worry. Beis Hillel, the root of the machlokas is as follows. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to use the tummy kos. That's going to be the root machlokas. Beis Shammai's whole svara was your worry, you don't want to use the tummy cup. So therefore your hands, which are tummy, are going to get the liquid tummy, you're going to make the kos tummy. Beis Hillel not worried about that, because Beis Hillel allows you to use a tummy cup, tummy kos. So he has a different worry. Beis Hillel says you can wash your hands beforehand. You know why? Because if you wash your hands, you're going to have water maybe left on your hands. You're not going to dry it totally well. So we're worried. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to use a tamei kos. So the kos is going to become tamei. That's going to make the water on your hands tamei, which is going to make your hands tamei. And therefore, when you eat, you're going to make the food tamei. So that's what you're worried about. That's going to make your hands tameh, and that's bad news. And that's why, says Beis Hillel, you have to do it until you're dying before you wash, so your hands are tahor. So says the Gemara, one second, but it didn't be kos liyadayim. Same question as before, why are we jumping, saying the kos is going to make the water tameh, is going to make your hands tameh? Just say, the kos is going to make your hands tameh. So the Gemara says, no, ain kli matameh adam. The rule is, a kli can never make an adam tameh. Why are we so worried about that your hands are the code, the tummy kos, which Beis Hillel says you're allowed to use, is going to make the water on his hands tummy, going to make his hands tummy. What about the water inside? We're worried, and he's going to touch the bread, it's going to become tummy. What do you mean? The cup is tummy. So let's say you're going to drink the wine. So that he already has tummy food, tummy drink. So what are we worried about? He's going to make the food tummy that he eats. The wine is sitting in the cup, which is a tummy cup. That's already tummy. So the Gemara says, no, there's a new kimta, how you could have a tummy cup without having the food inside of a tummy. How? Hacha b'klisha nitma achor b'mashkin askinan. We're talking about a case where there's the liquid on the back of the kli made the kli tummy. So therefore, again, the whole tumma of liquid is a derabanan. So therefore, it's possible the rabbanan made this special halacha that even though the outside, let's say you have a kos, picture a kos with a thing on the bottom, what's it called? A stem, and the liquid fell on the back of the stem. So the halacha is, by this tumah derabanan, only the stem would be tameh, but the wine inside won't be tameh. The rabbanan did this because it's only a din derabanan. We didn't want to make the whole cup tameh. You might get confused and think this is tumah daraisa. So therefore, we're talking about a case where liquid got on the back of it, and that's why only the back of it is tameh. De toch otar v'gabo tameh. Only the inside is still tar, and the gabo is tameh. Ditznan. The Mishnah says in Kalim, where do you have or have such a thing? Klisha nitzmu achorav b'mashkin, achorav tameim. That if in this type of tumah derabanan, where mashkin is the cause of it, which is only the special din, because you're worried that you're going to get confused with the liquid that comes out of a zav, so it's possible that if you put it on the back, if it goes on the back of the cup, only the back of it is tameh, but the inside, the toch, the agno, and the rim, the azna, the yadav, different types of handles, tahorin. Just finishing up the Mishnah, nitzva tocha, but nitzva kula. If the liquid be inside the cup, you can't say the inside is tameh and the outside is tahar. The outside is tafel, a secondary to the inside. But it's possible that if only the tip, the outside, gets tameh, then the inside can be tar. So again, to summarize what we just said, the Gemara says, b'maika miflagi. So what's the root machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel here? But remember, Beis Shammai who says, you don't wash your hands, you wash your hands which is it? Beis Shammai says that you wash your hands first, and Beis Hillel says that no, don't wash your hands first, bedafka. So Beis Shammai savri asur l'shamis bechli shedid b'chor b'mashkin. Right, that's the root machlokas, whether you're allowed to use a tamei kli. Beis Shammai says it's asur to use a tamei kli, gezeira mishim nitzotzos, because even if you could use a tamei kli, you know what might happen. So right now there's no liquid on the outside of the kli, but some nitzotzos, some drips might shoot out that are inside the kli to the outside of the kli and might cause tuma. Because again, you touch mashkin and that's going to cause tuma. So therefore, there's no reason to be gozer that the water on your hands are going to become tummy from the kos. Because Beis Shammai's root shita is, you can't use a tummy kos. So once that's his starting point, so then he's not worried about getting tummy from the kos. He's only worried about getting tummy from your hands. That's why Beis Shammai says you have to wash your hands first. Because his whole svara is looking at the tumah from the hands. So therefore, you have to wash your hands first. Beis Hillel savri, no, you have another worry. Beis Hillel savri, mutu l'shamish b'chli shidit b'achor b'mashkin. Beis Hillel says, you're allowed to use such a cup. Why? Armi nitzozes lo shchichi. What do you mean? There's wine inside the cup. You're not worried about it jumping out of the cup. Right? If it's dry outside, it's dry outside. It's not shchiach that it's going to jump out. V'ikel ameichesh. So what's Beis Hillel worried about? Shemi yitamu mashin shibyadai machma zakos. Maybe the mashkin should be a dayim, will become tamei from the tamei kos, right? You're going to wash your hands, you're going to have liquid left on, and then it's going to become tamei from the tamei kos, which you're allowed to use, says Beis Hillel. So that's why Beis Hillel says, don't wash your hands beforehand, so there's no liquid around. Okay, so the root machlokas in the Mishnah, which has to do with whether you wash your hands before or after you pour the cup, the root of it is whether you're allowed to use this type of tamei cup, that the nitzmu achorav, that the back of it became tamei. Dover acher, but the hosafa is maybe there's another svara for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. For Beis Hillel, why do Beis Hillel say you have to wash first, pour the cup, and then do netilas yadayim? Take of a netilas yadayim seuda. It's another halacha. There's not supposed to be a break between netilas yadayim and the seuda. My dover acher. What is this adding? What do you mean dover acher? Like another svara? How does this fit into the previous conversation? So hachi gamelu Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. This is an added. Halach idea that Beis Hillel is telling Beis Shammai. Lid ditchu, according to you, Beis Shammai, the Amrisu, Asur l'shamish b'chliyah shachor of Temeyin, the Gazrinim, Shimni Sosos, I agree, that's a good taina, it has merit, says Beis Hillel, but still, I have a better reason. Afilo hachi ha'adifa, the taking of the Tilas Yadayim Seuda, even though you have a chash, and I understand it, but there's a separate halacha, there's counter pressure. Take of the Tilas Yadayim Seuda, you're supposed to wash right before you eat, and therefore, that's another reason why I say to pour the cup first and then do Netilas Yadayim. That is all on Machlokas number 2 out of 8 in the Mishnah. To explain that, Machlokas about Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Okay, good. Let's go weiter. Again, we don't have not so much time to speak about Lamdas right now. We just got to get through the Gemara. Shakla V'Tari. Okay, Machlokas number 3. Okay, there's one more about Tumah V'Tahara, and then we get back to other inyan. Now, Machlokas number 3 is also about Tumah V'Tahara. If you look back at the Mishnah, back on an Aleph, the beginning of the Perek, there was a Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether after you washed your hands, let's say fine, you wash your hands until you die beforehand, and then you have your towel or your napkin. Where do you put it down? So there's a machlokas. Beis Shammai says you put it down on the table. Beis Hillel says you put it on the cushion that you're sitting on. What's that machlokas about? Machlokas about manners? Right, so what's that? So Gemara says, again, it's a halakha about tumah v'tahara. Beis Shammai again says you put it on the table. Beis Hillel says you put it on the keses, on the cushion you're sitting on. So what's that machlokas about? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana. Beis Shammai says you put it on the table. Remember, this towel that might have some drops in it. So Shemata Omer al Kasas, because if you're going to put it on the cushion next to you, so what are we worried about? Gzeira Shemitamo Mashkin Shibamapa Machmas Akasas. We're worried that the cushion you're sitting on is tame. And that's going to make the wet towel tame. Remember what we just said a few minutes ago. Mashkin, there's a din derabanan that all mashkin, whenever they come in contact with any tuma, become tame. Even from a sheni, even from a shlishi. Because the gzeira derabanan that you don't get confused with mashkin of a zav, which are avos hatuma. So that's the halacha. Din derabanan, any mashke, any of the 7 mashkin, yad shachadam, any of the 7 mashkin that are called mashkin, not orange juice, that's not a mashke, but yad shachadam, yayin, dvash, mayim, the 7 that we listed a couple of months ago. So any of those become tamei if they're touched by anything tamei. So says Beis Shammai, I'm worried that the keses, the cushion you're sitting on, is tamei, and therefore the water in the towel is going to become tamei because of the pillow. The yachs will be tamei seyadayim, and later on in the meal you're going to use the towel to wipe your hands, and therefore your hands are going to become tamei. So Beis Shammai says that's what we're worried about. So says the Gemara, a similar question to what he asked before, but a tamei keses lamapa. So what are we worried about the water inside? Just say directly, the cushion is going to make the towel tame. So as we said before, ain kli matame kli. A kli can't be matame a kli, another kli, or adams. Therefore, you have to go through this liquid. That's the conduit for passing tuma, even from low levels of tuma. Vinatami kasas lagavra. So too also the man sitting on the cushion. So why doesn't he become tummy already? You're worried that he's going to go through the water, through the towel, he's going to wipe his hands. He's sitting on the pillow. So the Gemara says again, ain kli matami adam. No, a kli doesn't have the power. A man only become tummy from an avatuma. And therefore, if there's anything less than that, it doesn't work. That's all Beis Shammai. He's worried that the hands could become tummy, but the gavra of a person can't become tummy. So that's Beis Shammai sheet. That's why you can't put it on the keses, the cushion. You have to put it on the table. Beis Hillel says, no, you have another svara. Beis Hillel says, omer ala keses. You have to put it on the pillow, on what you're sitting on. Shemata omer ala shulchan, because if you say you're going to put it on the table, you have a different worry. Again, maybe you're using a tame table, and the table is going to make the liquid in the mapatame, and then that's going to make the mapatame, and then that's going to make the food tame. V'yachsri v'tamos ha'ochlin. That's going to make the food tame. That's why Beis Hillel says you're worried if you put it on the table, because maybe you're using a tame table. That, by the way, is going to be the Ruach Machlokes again between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether you're allowed to use a tame table. V'latame l'shulchan l'ochlin shebesocho. Aye, so why do you, again, have to go from the table to the liquid, to the towel, to the food? Just go from the towel to the food. So the Gemara says again, hacha b'shulchan sheni askinam. We're talking about a shulchan which is only a sheni latuma, which is a low-level tuma, which can't be tame anything, besides, if that's chulin, except going through liquid. So you need that liquid. So again, the Gemara says to summarize. But my kamiflagi, the Gemara also says, I know I'm saying a lot of information, let me summarize. What's the machlokas about? Beishamai says, you're never going to be worried about a table being mitami, the liquid and the towel, etc., because you're not allowed to use a shulchan that's a sheni latuma. You might have the cones over from next door, and they're going to have to eat, you're going to serve them truma, and therefore, if you use a Shulchan Sheni, Truma is a holy food, is a Kadosh food. Therefore, Truma could become a Shlishi. And Kachim, let's say you're going to eat Kachim Yishlayim, that can even become a Revi Latuma. So it says Beis Shammai, there's always a Xavier, you're never allowed to use a Sheni Latuma because of the time that the Kohens might come over to your house. Ubeis Hillel Savri, Mutul Shamish B'Shulchan Sheni, Ople Truma's reason. Beis Hillel says, we're not worried. The Kohens are his reason. Kohanim, they're careful. And therefore, you don't have to make such xeris. You're allowed to use a table that's a sheni. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, we're worried if you put it on the table because it might become tummy. Therefore, you have to put it on the cushion. Beis Shammai says, no, you didn't put it on the table because you never use a tummy table. Therefore, only put it on the cushion. But again, that machlokes that seems to be about Hilchos Suda in the Mishnah is really about Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Davar Acher, again, like the previous case, we have another connected phrase. Ein Netilas Yadayim L'Chulin Min HaTorah. We have another phrase which is said in the related to this machlokes. There's no netilas yadayim l'chulin min haTorah. So what does that mean? My davar acher. Where does that phrase fit into our conversation? So the Gemara again says this is part of Beis Hillel's shita. Hachi kamri luhu Beis Hillel l'Beis Shammai. V'chi tamer ma'ishna gabi ochlin dechoshes chayshinan u'ma'ishna gabi yadayim dechoshes chayshinan. If you think about Beis Hillel's shita, he's worried about the right. What does Beis Hillel say? You have to put it on the cushion because you're worried if it's on the table that the food might get tummy. So he's worried about the food becoming tame, but he's not worried about the hands when you wipe it later becoming tame. So why is he only worried about the food and not about the hands? So but the Gemara says, Afilo achi ha'adifa. You're right, they're both good svaras, but he's more worried about the food than the hands. You know why? De'ein netilas yadayim l'chulin min haTorah. This whole concept that yadayim are shnios latuma, that's a din d'rabanan. Ein lo ikir min haTorah, doesn't come, it's not midaraisa anywhere. There's no source for it. The Rabbanan made a takana. So Beis Hillel says, I'm more worried about something that has an ikker min haTorah. Food can become tamei midaraisa, right? Let's say a sheretz jumps on a piece of food, right? So that food is a rishon midaraisa. So mutav shiyatamu yadayim deleslu ikker midaraisa v'al yatamu ochlin deislu ikker midaraisa. So if I have one chash, one worry, you have to put your towel somewhere, either on the table or on the cushion. So I'm more worried about the food becoming tamei, which has an ikker midaraisa. Food can become tamei on a daraisa level more than the hands, where there's no separate Tumah for hands, right? Usually we become tummy, a person. A person could become an avatumah, right? If he walks, if he's in an olamis. But in terms of hands becoming tummy, separate from the body, that's a total dinzer abanam. Therefore, he's more worried about the food than about the hands. Okay? That ends machlokas number three in discussion of machlokas number three in the mission. Okay, a few more minutes. Beis Shammai Omrim. Fourth machlokas. Machlokas was, now with end of the meal, my machronim. Beis Shammai says, first you sweep up the table, and then you do my machronim. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can do my machronim first. I'm sorry, you could do my machron first, right, and then sweep up the table. So once again, what's this machlokas about? So Tanur Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omer Mechad Nesabayis V'Achachnos Unli Yadayim. Beis Shammai says, first you clean up the table, and then you do Netilas Yadayim. Why? And then you do my machronim. Shemata Omer Notunli Yadayim Tchila Nimsa Atamavsa Nesa Ochlin.
what's going to happen? We're going to do my machronim. There's still going to be crumbs at the table. What usually happens? We usually have these little tiny my machronim dishes. We do the my machronim. We get water all over the place. So the table's going to become disgusting. You have all these crumbs on the table. And it's going to become achi. It's going to, and you get a bench now. It's not covered up bracha. So Beis Shammai says, you got to clean up first. You got to clean up. Even if we're neat, if the 5-year-olds at the table are going to use it, then for sure they're very machmer. They use the whole cup by my macaron and they pour it over the whole table. So again, you got to be worried. So Beis Shammai says you have to clean it up first. The Bach takes out the next line, so we'll take it out also. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, I'm sorry, where am I? Yeah, Beis Hillel Omrim, Imshamash Tamat Chacham, who knows the Piru and Sheish Ben Kazayas, Omenech Peru and Shein Ben Kazayas. Beis Hillel says, don't worry, as long as the waiter knows what he's doing, he'll take off the larger pieces beforehand. And the little crumbs, you're not so worried about. So they'll get a little wet. It's not going to become so disgusting. It's not Ibud Ochlin. You take off the big pieces. Misaila, the Rabbi Yochanan, this last sheet of Beis Hillel is a writer of Yochanan. Dama Rabbi Yochanan. Peirun she'in ben kazayis, mutal avdim biyad. Rabbi Yochanan says, tiny little crumbs, there's no halach of Ibud Ochlin. Right? Yesterday, 2 days ago, we spoke about the concept of Bizui Ochlin and Ibud Ochlin. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, by tiny little crumbs, there's no concept. Right, it comes up, let's say, by beer chametz. Some sheet to say that you can't just throw the chametz in the garbage. You got to pour like ammonia into it to make sure it's not roi l'achila. I ibud ochlin. No, it's just crumbs. Right, less than a kazais. But Micah Miflagi, so what's this machlokas about? Doesn't Beis Shammai know you can also take off the big pieces? No, the machlokas is as follows. Again, this is the third time we're gonna have a machlokas. You read the Mishnah, you think it's a machlokas talking about hilchas suda, but the Gemara says at a left field there's a totally different root of the machlokas. Beis Hillel savri also l'shtamish b'shamish ha'maaretz. Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to use a waiter who doesn't know halacha. So therefore, obviously, you're only going to be using a Talmud Chacham waiter, and therefore he's going to know to take off the big pieces before you do my machronim. So therefore, Beis Hillel says, you don't have to sweep up everything. Beis Shammai says, you have to sit with Talmidei Chachamim. Your waiter can be whoever. So therefore, Beis Shammai says, you're worried that maybe he's not going to take off the big pieces before you do my machronim, and therefore, you have to sweep up the whole table just as a safeguard. The Halacha Beis Shammai. Right, Rav Yosef Rechanina says, out of the 8 arguments of the Mishnah, the 7 we pass on like Beis Hillel, except for this one. This one we pass on like Beis Shammai. That you should clean up first the table, and then do Mayim Achronim. Rav Oshia Masni Ifcha. Rav Oshia saves the day. He said, no, switch the sheetas in this Machlokas. So therefore, we pass on like Beis Hillel and all the Machlokasim. So we always pass in like Beis Hillel. 2 more minutes. Again, we don't have Tachanun today, so therefore we can go a little further. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, for a bunch of reasons we don't have Tachanun today. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Ikla Lebei Rava. Rav Huna, has everybody got the machlokes? So the root of the machlokes between about by my machronim was about whether you're allowed to use a waiter am haaretz or not. That's the root of the machlokes between whether you have to clean up before my machronim or not. Next story, Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla lebei Rava. He went to visit Rava, chazi l'Rava to baruch habesamim bereisha. So he saw that Rava made the bracha of besamim first before anything else. Amar le, he said to him, one sec, amichti bishamei bishela amar lo pligi. Bishamei bishela don't have a machlokes about the summon first. They both agree that you do mar bor mer ha'ish before besamim. So what are you doing? The Tanya, because the Mishnah says, or the Tanya, Bishami Amrim Nera Mazan Besamim Vahavdala, Bishal Amrim Nera Mazan Besamim Mazan Vahavdala. You look in our Mishnah, everybody agrees that you do bor mer ha'ish first. So what are you doing besamim first? So Ani Rava Basrei, Zu Devi Rabbi Meir. Rava said, no, that's the Mishnah's version of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But remember, an Amud ago, remember we had a different version of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Alvar Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Nechluga Beis Shammai Yisrael HaMazon Shuh B'Tzkila V'Alavdol Shuh B'Sof. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, everybody agrees that Mazon, benching, if you have one coast, and you're doing all these mitzvahs, benching comes first, and Havdalah comes at the end, and the Machlokes is about Bori Mereish and Besamim. Aman Echlukwa Ma'or Val Besamim, She Beis Shammai Omer Ma'ala Ma'or V'Achrach Besamim, O Beis Hillel Omer Besamim V'Achrach Ma'or. Right? So the Machlokes is whether Ma'or comes before Besamim. V'yamer Rabbi Yochanan Nago Am K'Beis Hillel Libid Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we paskin. And we go like Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel, which is first Bori Mere Besamim, then Bori Mere Ha'esh, and then Havdalah. So therefore says Rava, I went like Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's what I hold. Okay, 1 more minute, and then we'll stop at the next 2 dots. Amar Rava. Bibra, so now we're going to the next machlokes in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, what's the nusach habracha of Bori Mere Ha'esh? Beis Shammai had said, Shebara Ma'or Ha'esh, and Beis Hillel had said, Bori Ma'or Ha'esh, which we're used to. So what's that machlokes about? Says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Bibara Kulei Amalo Pligi Debara Mashma. Everybody agrees that the Lashon of Bara means past tense, created. So everybody would agree that Bara works. Bara ma'or ha'ish. Ki pligi b'borei. The machlokas is, what does borei mean? Beis Shammai Savri, we had a similar machlokas by motzi ha-motzi. Remember back, I think on Lamed Tes? So Beis Shammai Savri, borei da'asid l'mivra. Beis Shammai says, you can't say borei, because borei is a lashon asid. Borei, or at least Lashon Hoveh, but not past. Borei Morei Ha'esh, but Hashem already created it years ago, so therefore Borei is inappropriate. That's why you have to say Shebara, according to Beis Shammai. Veselos Arino, Borei Nami Debara Mashma. Borei could also mean past tense, like present perfect, meaning not present perfect, but the past and the present at the same time. So Mazav Rav Yosef, asks a kasha on Beis Shammai from a pasuk. Beis Shammai can't argue on a pasuk. Yotzer or Ravori Choshef, Yotzer or Ravori Ruach. Borei Shashmayim Vinotam. So you see the pasukim in Tanakh use the lashon of Borei by all of these creations, by mountains and heavens, and obviously it means did all in the past and in the present. So therefore Borei must be good. So El Amar Rav Yosef, Babari Kulei Amalo Pligit Zabara Mashma. Okay, so the Pasha of the Gemara is that really there's no machlokas about Bara and Borei. Everybody agrees that it works. The real machlokas is by the word, the next word, ki pligi b'ma'or u'ma'ore. The machlokas is Borei ma'or ha'esh u'borei ma'ore ha'esh. The Beis Shammai sabri chadu nahore ika benura. Beis Shammai says there's one light in fire. Ubeis Hillel sabri tu v'nuhure ika benura. There's a lot of lights in fire. So Beis Shammai says Borei ma'or ha'esh. And Beis Hillel says Borei ma'ore ha'esh, because there's a lot of lights in fire. There's a lot of lights and fire. Ask the Vilna Gaon. Beis Shammai knows there's a lot of light and fire. There's a lot of light. Look at the fire. There's blue, there's red, there's orange. What's Beis Shammai talking about? There's only one light in the fire. A. B. Look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says there's a machlokas about Bar and Borei. What's the Gemara talking about? There's no machlokas, Bar and Borei. So says the Gra in his commentary in the Shnos Eliyahu on the Mishnah. He says, oh, really, what's the machlokas? And both of them fit in. The machlokas is the bracha that we say in Motzi Shabbos. Motzi Shabbos, we're remembering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created fire on Motzi Shabbos. Are we making the bracha k'neged the yesod of Eish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first Motzi Shabbos? Where it was one, it was the yesod, it was the root of it, so it was only one color then. Whatever the fire looked like. That's Beis Shammai. That's why he says bara in past tense and it's ma'or, because it's going on one light of fire. Beis Hillel said, no, you go on the fire that we just made. That's why it's Borei, and that's why it's Ma'orei, because there's a lot of colors. So both machlokism fit in, depending on what the bracha is relating to. That's how the Vilna Gaon in this commentary on the Mishnah explains that machlokas. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, the shiur today was L'Refu Shleima Tali Bas Dvar Rabina. Amen.